Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Well, good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
I'm doing very well today. And how about you?
Well, that's a loaded question. I'm doing great, but thanks for asking. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we'll be talking about the path of knowledge that accompanies the practice of Kriya Yoga. Listen in and see how action, knowledge, and devotion pull together. We will discuss the niyama of self-study or sacred study as an important component to unlocking the goals of Kriya Yoga. Swami will introduce the labyrinth as a tool to organize information into a comprehensive whole. Because Kriya Yoga is instruction to do something, it is valuable to follow directions to the letter, making knowledge the ingredient that will compound abilities. The labyrinth is a tool to organize information into a comprehensive whole. We will explore some of the essential facts required for a successful Kriya Yoga practice. So, Swami, when I think about knowledge, of course, the first thing I think about is, and of course, all those years that we spend in, you know, grammar school, grade school, high school, college, and so on and so forth, that kind of give us the foundation, you know, and the building blocks to be able to, you know, perform our tasks for the rest of our lives. So how is it that the path of knowledge, how does that relate to our Kriya Yoga studies?
Well, I really think that your path of knowledge in yoga is really more geared toward self-study than things that are more external. Like you say, like when we go to school, we learn how to speak a language, we learn how to understand the environment that we're in, things like biology and geography and history. And in the practice of yoga, it's really much more geared toward understanding our inner environment, the interplay between our physical bodies, our mental bodies, and our spirit bodies. Because, you know, there's a very big difference between knowing something intellectually and knowing something directly, kind of a thing. And so a big part of understanding your path of knowledge in yoga is really more about how to apply theories, how to take a concept and turn it into an experience, kind of a thing. And that's where I think it's really valuable to understand how to use your path of knowledge in yoga, that it's way more experiential than it is to just be able to parrot back scripture. Right. You know, it's like what does the scripture say is one thing. Then, you know, one of the things I always say is Jesus' instruction was love the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. Well, it's a very nice phrase that just kind of rolls off your tongue, but what does that actually look like when I'm doing it is more what your path of knowledge in yoga is geared towards, because it's all about going from knowing to doing to get the experience of loving the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. And as you start to unpack these types of statements, you really start to see that there's a lot of things that have to be in place in order to actualize these experiences, if that makes any sense.
So I could read 100 books on yoga by different authors, and it wouldn't really matter the content in these books if I didn't do something with them. But I have a question for you about knowledge. Now, people say that the body has power and that the body has knowledge. How does a person tap into the knowledge of the body? Like, how do we tap into the wisdom that we already do possess?
Well, a lot of that is what I call listening to your body. That's why when you're doing your yoga practice, there's a lot of time that's spent where you're introspective, analytical, observant, reflective. Because the language that our body kind of speaks to us with is things like pain, comfort, instability. The body will also speak to you with things like joy, happiness, cravings can be other things. And so you also have to be, again, you have to be an educated consumer, because the traps are that on this way to what we call liberation, we can get bound up in the world, we can get bound up in our minds, and you can get lost in these dimensions of your makeup indefinitely. So part of it is to be able to take the signals that are coming from your body and assign them to the right symbols. Because as you start to unlock this path, you start to see there's a difference between worldly happiness, intellectual happiness, and this thing called eternal happiness. But using the body kind of like as a barometer is important, because the body has the power. And if the body does not desire or love the proper source of sustenance, then of course you're still stuck in this regressive pattern. Nothing is really going to happen. And so that's where the knowledge comes in. Because it's going from knowing to doing. But if you don't feel connected to this source of sustenance, then your body will continue to long for something external, either visible and tangible or invisible and tangible. And you don't get the realization that the books are talking about, if that helps.
So in my yoga practice, so I guess how I would put that to application would be, if I'm talking about doing a posture class, then I really want to pay attention to what's going on in my body when I'm in each particular posture. And then just really, you know, like I said, pay attention and try to listen for the signals, because I can tap into the wisdom that's already there. So if I have like a tightness or an instability or something, that should bring something up on screen for me to look at. And then from there, I should be able to, you know, Nancy Drew the situation and just try to figure out, well, why am I feeling that particular way?
Yeah, and these are some of the things that you really try and work with. Because a lot of times, again, what's the difference between worldly happiness, intellectual happiness, and eternal happiness? Sometimes people are happy because they're able to get their foot on their head. Now, it seems like you have all your ducks in order, except for the simple fact that you're still attached to a resource of energy that is not going to give you the return that will lead you to this thing called samadhi. So you'll be happy because your instructor said that you look good in the posture, which can be equally as problematic, if that helps, because the whole intention of the yoga practice is to be happy because you're connected to something that's pure, powerful, and sacred. So whether you get your foot on your head or you don't get your foot anywhere near your head, the underlying inner environment must be that you're already good enough. And then from that platform, then of course you can relax into the posture. Because there aren't any two blades of grass that are the same. There aren't any two snowflakes that are the same. So what may be a perfect posture for one person might look very different than what a perfect posture will look like for another person. That's what we talked about last week, the whole thing of celebrate your uniqueness. But the intention of the posture is that you are in a position where your bones are supporting you internally, your muscles are just there stabilizing you, and your mind is completely attached to this inexhaustible source of sustenance, and your body is receiving it. That's what makes an asana class a yoga class, as opposed to just an exercise class, if that helps.
Well, I do know one of the things that you say in the posture class is that make sure your body is comfortable. You know, this is not a contest. This is all about a relationship between your mind and your body. And I think that's it's a new concept for a lot of the new students that come in the door, because they're used to trying to be just like the person next to them. You know, they don't want to be seen as the one that can't do a posture a certain way. So I think that's a really refreshing reproach, you know, for the exercise community, because it's all about I can lift more weights than you, I can Zumba better than you, I can get my head to the floor, but yet our approach to the physical body is so different. And like I said, I think that's really refreshing for a lot of people to have that kind of a instruction.
Well, again, we approach yoga as a science. That's why we have theory classes. Our Theory 1 class really kind of gives you a much broader understanding of the science of yoga, the physics of spirituality, the goals and objectives of the science of yoga. Because one of the things that we always talk about is the average person does not get out of infantile defense mechanisms. So a big part of why we're exercising is so we can be more desirable, which can be more problematic than you can imagine when you're trying to seek this thing called liberation. And again, if you do not have the knowledge, if you don't know what the goals and objectives of the science of yoga are, if you do not know what the intention of religion was, then you're satisfied with being happy with something. And so your path of knowledge is really an important part of a practice, because the key question is, what do I desire? What is it that is important to me? What is it that I love? And then, of course, when you are practicing, if you have a very specific intention to desire this void or this nothing, then it's very different than just being happy with the fact that I look good in my revolved triangle today. If that helps at all.
I just find it so interesting that most of our shows just come down to that same basic principle, and that is you have to find your connection to the universe, your connection to spirit, and really nothing else doesn't doesn't really measure up. And if you don't have that, then you really can't have anything else, or you can have other things, but it won't seem as joyful, I guess, for lack of a better adjective to use. So this connection to spirit is really what drives everything. So if we have this connection to spirit, and then we still want to work on our path of action, because I think that's important to some extent, that we do have to understand what it is that we are doing. So if we do want to have this path of action, how is it, what do you recommend that we do? Are there readings that we should do, like the Bhagavad Gita? I mean, are there things like that initiates should study?
Well, yeah, the books are great, but like you said, if you don't understand the books as instruction to do something and you start to venerate the books, then you miss the point.
All right, great. You know, I think we'll get back to that right after we hear a word from our sponsor. So, listeners, we will return with you shortly.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods, a complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Kriya Yoga Theory 1 live classes and videos. Get your arms around the spiritual science of Kriya Yoga.
You know, the intention of why we practice is to embody spirit, you know, to feel connected to the life force.
Kriya Yoga Asana live classes and videos. A cosmically engineered system of exercises to initiate apotheosis. A system of exercises engineered for dining and dancing at the cosmic ballroom. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 live classes and videos. A practice in open form designed to facilitate positive growth of consciousness. Get your labyrinth video.
I find the positive side of it is a lot of things together.
Kriya Yoga mantra and meditation. With repetition comes absorption. Pray on prana and become divine.
At the same time, we all have a unique talent and gift to give back.
Private sessions. The mysteries of the universe have always been handed down verbally from teacher to student. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.iptransform.com.
Namaste.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, we're talking about the path of knowledge, and I just asked you about what kind of books and things like that you think that somebody could be reading. But I have to ask you, like, in my own personal path of knowledge, I actually use, like, our Theory 2 classes, you know, and this more of this community kind of environment as my path of knowledge. I don't know if that's exactly correct, but also using the celestial positioning system as my kind of like my path of knowledge, trying to understand how the universe around me is affecting me individually and collectively. Are those okay to use those aspects?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's why we design them that way, so that they are much more applicable to your individual practice, your individual process. But also to be able to cross-reference it with things like the Bhagavad Gita, the Bible, the Quran, the Vedas, the Upanishads, because, again, knowledge to me is a lot like concentric circles. It's one of the things that I always say, that the small and the simple explains the large and the complex. If you understand the workings of the atom, you have a better understanding of how the solar system is working. That understanding yourself, I love that Christian concept that they say that the human is made in the image and likeness of the divine, of God, that there are three persons in one God. Well, as you start to unpack that very simple statement, you start to see that there are three dimensions to the human being. There's a physical, a mental, and then this causal spiritual. And that's all theoretical. But then if you try and bring it to a more experiential level, there are three dimensions of reality we visit every day. Waking state, the dream state, the dreamless state. And to be able to take clues from all of these different dimensions is going to enhance your yoga practice. The more you understand that we make shifts in consciousness every day, that eventually you're able to do it consciously and willfully, that you're actually able to now use these additional dimensions of your makeup as resources that you can call upon and utilize consciously. And that, to me, that's the value of understanding what's going on inside my physical body, what's going on in my immediate surroundings, and maybe what's going on in the heavens. It's kind of like in the medical community, you know, to look at something from the microscope, to look at something with the naked eye, and then maybe even to look at something with a telescope, to see it in the context of a much bigger picture. And those are all things that come with what I call your Kriya Yoga path of knowledge.
I know we have, like, on our T-shirt, it says, like, know thyself. So if we dissect our own beings, like, say, using our birth charts, our own astrology, and everything having to do with ourselves, if we can understand the self, does that catapult us into understanding, you know, the larger picture?
Well, to answer your question, I don't know if it would give you that information automatically, but I think it would help you enormously to understand that. Just like I'm saying, I mean, for people that just understand atoms might not necessarily automatically understand the solar system. They might not understand the movement of the planets right away. But eventually, that's part of, like, what we talk about, our path of knowledge is really how to apply information, to take theories, and then to understand them, which is very different than just to be able to parrot back words, kind of a thing. Which is in my opinion, one of the things that I found that was, in some respects, kind of a pitfall in the education or the education that I went through in my Western socialization. A lot of it was just about parroting back information rather than understanding, or how to take a small bit of information and apply it to do something. But once you learn that, which is, to me, that's what your path of knowledge in Kriya Yoga is all about, how to take information and apply it, how to read instructions to do something and then to do it, brings that instruction to a new level of knowing. Like, if you've never changed a flat and you read books about flat tires and how to repair flat tires, it's one thing. But then all of a sudden, if you get a flat tire, and now you take, you have to go through all of these different steps in order to fix it, that's a whole different level of understanding. Reading books about swimming is one thing. Putting yourself in the water and swimming becomes something different. And so in this process of know thyself, it's one thing to say that I'm a physical body, I'm a mental body, I'm a spirit body, and it's another thing to be able to make shifts in consciously and willfully, without losing consciousness, which is typically what's happening to us when we're falling asleep.
Well, it's interesting that you said that, because you've even said in a theory class, it's like you can't look at somebody and know what their degree of consciousness is. And so then how does somebody go from this reading on how to change your levels of consciousness to actually doing it?
Well, the typical answer is by practice. You know, it's that old, how do I get to Carnegie Hall? Practice. You know, I mean, some people might say it's two blocks down on the left, you know, and then some, if somebody ever asks you the question, you say practice. And the same with yoga. It's a path of action, it's a path of knowledge, it's a path of devotion. And as you immerse yourself in these different dimensions of this science, you start to see things more experientially. It's just like I'm saying, when you're doing a physical posture, you can't look at somebody in a revolved triangle and be able to tell them what their level of consciousness, their degree of awareness is. Because the one that may have the internal connection and the broader sense of awareness might not be the one that has their hand to the floor. It's the one that has the light in their soul.
Yeah, that was a beautiful statement. Because you don't know. You can't tell by somebody, you know, about that. Yeah, that's great. Well, I think it's time we have to start closing down our program already. Well, that was a fast show. So, of course, listeners out there, I'd like to invite you to, of course, visit our website, and you can follow Swami on Pinterest and Twitter and Facebook, of course. And also available to you are the online classes that you can access through our website. You can just click on the link for the online classes. It will direct you to Powhow, and then you can make your selections from there. But keep those comments and questions and curiosities coming, because Swami does enjoy hearing from you. And be sure to tune into next week. I'm sure we'll have another wonderful, great program for you. So, Swami, any other final thoughts or comments about today's show?
Well, I don't really have much to say about today's show, but I would like to thank everybody who has been very supportive of you during this really challenging time that you're going through, and all of the people up at Portsmouth Hospital that were, you know, so interested in your well-being, independent of all of the differences that might have taken place. In that, I do believe that we're all good people just trying to do the best we can with what we know, and it's just been a very interesting week, and so, but very grateful for the results that we have, and with that, I wish everybody a good day, and namaste, and I'll give it back to you.
And thank you. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.